JC Corcoran Podcast.
Come on down off your sled, Santa, 'cause I'm feeling low and blue. All the folks around here are dead, Santa, and I could use someone to talk to, and it might as well be you. I've been dressing up like you, Santa, at a big department store. I met some little boys and girls, Santa. I brought them home and they're buried underneath my kitchen floor. You think I'm psycho, don't you, Santa? You think I'm not as good as you? If you think I'm psycho, Santa, there ain't a whole lot you can do. I turned on my radio, Santa, and I heard a big old choir singing pretty Christmas songs, Santa, and it just set my brain on fire. That's my mama over there, Santa, don't get around much since she died. Got my stocking hung with care, Santa. Still got my mama's leg inside. You think I'm psycho, don't you, Santa? You think that I was born to lose? If you think I'm psycho, Santa, there ain't a whole lot you can do. Oh, don't you try to leave, Santa, and don't go near the telephone. It's a lonely Christmas Eve, Santa, and you and I are here alone. They had a party down the street, Santa, they didn't want me coming round. They were sitting down to eat, Santa, and then their house burned to the ground. You think I'm psycho, don't you, Santa? I'm sorry that I broke your leg. You think I'm psycho, don't you, Santa? Santa Claus, I want to hear you beg.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Tuesday, December 14th, 2021, the J.C. Corcoran Podcast here at jconline.com. 329 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. This is also the anniversary of Sandy Hook. All right, that happened in 2012, and I always get nervous on this day because there's so many people fucked up out there, just, you know, people with psychological disorders that aren't being treated properly, and they see something like this coming, and on the anniversary, maybe they're about to do something stupid. I don't rest well on this anniversary every year. On a happier note, 2005, you had U2 at the Savas Center. That was a great show. And in 1990, a lot of you will remember where you were. It was Chesterfield Mall. We had had 8 inches of snow earlier in the day, and something that we had been working on since July we thought might be in jeopardy, and that was the 1990 edition of the Food and Cash Salvation Bash at Chesterfield Mall. Comedian Rich Hall, who used to be a writer for David Letterman and did multiple appearances on late night TV, was our guest comedian, our performer that night. He was also on that show, Not Necessarily the News, on HBO. That was a pretty funny show that was a sort of a Saturday Night Live knockoff, but it wasn't done live, and it was sketch comedy, but they had some really funny stuff on that show. I still remember the name of the female news person was Frosty Kimmelman. And I remember teasing Rich Hall because he was the guy that invented those things called Sniglets, like the square on the envelope you get to pay your electric bill, and it says, post office will not deliver this mail without a stamp. We call that the idiot box. You know, stuff like that. And like I said, I was teasing him because he wrote one Sniglet book, just one. And then people started sending him thousands of suggestions, and he just published those. So he really only had to have one. You know what it was like? It was like when Jeff Foxworthy did You Might Be a Redneck If. You know, if you mow your front lawn and find a car, you might be a redneck. Well, he wrote one book full of these things, and then everybody sent him new ones, and he put out like 7 or 8 editions of You Might Be a Redneck If. So, you know, what a great deal. People do your work for you. But the bash, this was the big one. This was the last one that I did in 1990 before I ended up leaving the radio station. And it was just spectacular. I'd have to go back and look up the actual numbers, but it was, you know, we filled the better part of a semi because they would take the food straight out to the semi and load it in. And, you know, stuff that you donated back then was on somebody's table probably within about 48 hours. But we made it snow. That was a big surprise to a lot of people. We dimmed the lights. There were so many people who wanted to be a part of the whole thing. And, you know, back then, before radio station budgets were gutted by their big corporate owners, we had some money. We said we need $20,000 to be able to do this. And they wrote us a check. And so that was our budget. And with a show that big, 20 grand is not much, but a lot of people donated stuff. A lot, and I'm going to on so many different levels. We needed lighting, professional lighting for the stage show that was donated. We had musicians helping out Ken Hensley from Uriah Heep, who was living in St. Louis at the time. He just recently passed away about maybe, a year ago? He was living off the eastern coast of Spain, but he just showed up and played live. People went nuts. I think we got Rich Hall for something like $4,000. And we just, you know, one of the hotels in the area traded it out with us. They just said, give us a couple of free commercials on the station and, you know, we'll just donate everything. And of course, you guys with the food. You know, I'm standing up on a stage 30 hours. You know, we're a couple hours into this thing and the middle of the day, and people are bringing in entire skids full of canned goods, boxes and boxes and trays. And people wheeling stuff in with hand trucks. And then late at the Barklage Brothers played live. And, you know, and then, you know, during the main part of the show, the Chesterfield police estimated the crowd at 7,000. This is just in the center court of the old, well, what remains of Chesterfield Mall. 7,000 people with 7 inches of snow on the ground. I still remember my mentor at Channel 5, a wonderful woman by the name of Ava Ehrlich. She turned me into a good writer and a good journalist and the whole thing in my years at Channel 5. And I will be indebted to her forever. But I remember, you know, earlier in the day, because we did a live shot for Channel 5. And she said, I don't think young people are deterred by snowfall. And back then we were, you know, number one in the entire St. Louis market in the 18 to 34-year-old audience and the 25 to 54-year-old audience. And Ava just told me, she said, no, I wouldn't worry. I think people are going to show up. I just don't think that snow will stop people of this age. And she was right, 7,000 people out there, according to the Chesterfield police. Now, here's the thing. That was the big show on this date. But the first year we did it was, I guess, 1988. And that started at West County Mall, because nobody else would let us in, seriously. So we did a West County Mall, and it was a real primitive operation compared to this thing that we were just talking about in 1990. And, you know, it was just a rickety old stage, and we just threw a bunch of stuff together, and we had to wait until almost 11 o'clock when Bob Richards got off the air doing the weather on Channel 5, and he brought out his accordion. We had a great friend of the show and a friend of Jerry Berger and a guy who did a jazz show on WSIE in Carbondale, a great guy by the name of Ross Gentile. And Ross, among other things, was a trumpet player, and also he was our musical director for the brain-damaged media dorks, which is what we've been talking about, all these media people up on stage. Somebody made a neon sign that said the brain-damaged media dorks. I would love to have that. Somebody got that. I'm trying to remember who. Actually, somebody at the radio station grabbed that. But you have to understand something, and, you know, I don't want to get all maudlin here, but when you're a young broadcaster and you're thinking, and you're frustrated because you're not getting the jobs you want in the cities that you want for the amount of money that you want, not the good stations, and you just have dreams of success. And in my case, one of the things that I always wanted to do was a big fundraiser, just a giant fundraiser, because I thought that there was a way that we could do it and make it unusual and sort of new and different. And when it actually came to fruition, and you're standing there on stage and you're in the middle of a show and there's, you know, a couple of hundred people standing around looking at you, and you have a lot of people who are really relying on you to pull this thing off. You know, the radio station has spent all that money. That's number one. They have allowed you to basically pirate the radio station for 30 straight hours. You have, obviously, the Salvation Army. You have all these people who have donated things, and they're, you know, hoping to get their plug in. I got a picture right here of Uncle Leonard. There's Uncle Leonard and Johnny Loverboy Amoroso. And I'm wearing a shirt that says, yeah, I change my shirt every hour. So this was hour number 9. There it is. I'm going to put that on Facebook later today. It's a great old memory from the bash. And I'll probably pull up some video, too, and throw that on. I think I have something stored away on YouTube. But, you know, again, that was the culmination of a tremendous team effort and an inspiration that actually sort of came from a guy that I had idolized in the radio business by the name of Larry Lujack, and that's where the whole Salvation Army thing came in. So when I became successful at KSD, the old classic rock station, I was like, well, this is my shot. I won't ever have a shot to do something like this again. So instead of just dreaming about how I might be able to do it someday, fucking do it this year. Make it happen. Make it work. And I put a lot of pressure on a lot of people. And now it's showtime. It's the day of the event. And all that pressure swings completely around, does a 180, and points right at you. But God damn it, we did it. Didn't we? We did it. We did it as a team. And when I say a team, I'm talking all about yous. And especially after that very, as I said, primitive version of the bash at West County Mall 3 years prior, to you know, have this thing hit on all cylinders and have 7,000 people there, and just, you know, an outrageous, an unimaginable amount of money and food that we ended up with this whole thing. Just incredible. So how did the whole thing sound? I think we have it, don't we?
And it's time for a new tote. Hit it. Hour number 18 of the Food and Cash Salvation Bash at Chesterfield Mall. 10,743 pounds of food, $42,494. Thank you very much. And I didn't know he was multi-talented. I thought it was just the accordion, but it's also the trombone, Mr. Bob Richards.
JC, you know, it's a pleasure. This is my third year here, and it's always a pleasure to be here and to see you and to see what you're doing for the Salvation Army. But to come here tonight on a night when the wind chill is about 40 below and to look out upon the masses and see a computerized banner that says Bob Richards Accordion Fan Club, I am truly touched tonight. I'm moved.
You know them as the News Brothers, but only half the team is out here now. Please welcome to the band on tambourine and anything else you could find, Mr. Mike Bush.
We'll be right back.
somebody convinced us we could sing. Why did we listen?
All right.
What a night. What a night. That was hour number 18. We went on the air at 6 o'clock in the morning. So that's about midnight right there. And people always say to me, why don't you do that again? That was so much fun. Do the Food and Cash Salvation Bash again. We're like, yeah. You know what would happen if we went in and asked somebody for $20,000 in this climate in the broadcast industry? Get laughed out of the building. I remember for the 30th anniversary of me, when we were doing the old K-Hit show, I asked for $5,000 and got laughed out. And then the other problem is, you know, you're talking about 1990 here. And back in those days, people had one job. You either worked at Channel 5 or you worked at the Post-Dispatch. You know, we had Jerry Berger out there singing on stage. We had all these different people from all the different TV stations. And everybody just sort of set aside their allegiance to whatever broadcast facility that they were chained to. And everybody just set that aside for a 30-hour broadcast for the Salvation Army. And so you had people from Channel 4 and Channel 5 and Channel 2 and the Post-Dispatch all on stage together, all singing. I remember Deanne Lane was singing White Christmas with Jerry Berger. And of course, right after that is when everything changed. Now, everybody had multiple jobs. You worked at Fox 2, but you also had a show on 590 The Fan. Or you worked at the Post-Dispatch, but you were also a contributor to KMOX. You know, stuff like that. So everybody had their availability cut off. So you know what? It was just one of those situations. We happened to catch lightning in a bottle, magic, if you will, Christmas magic, and it was fantastic, and you have the memories, but that's all you're going to have because the thing is never going to happen again. It's just never going to happen again. But, like I said, we have the memories, and the memories on this, the 31st anniversary of that great show that night, that Friday night at Chesterfield Mall. Wow.
Now, I wrote a great cookbook, great desserts, because everyone buys their desserts. Yes. Everyone goes to a bakery. Go home, do a dessert. Okay. I cut the fat.
Not now.
You have a show to do. I cut the sugar. I cut the fat. I made it delicious. I want people to get motivated because, you know, you can gain 8 to 10 pounds by January 1st.
People do this at the holidays, and this is a terrible time.
They eat and eat, and then December 31st, they're holding the last rum ball. The last rum ball in their hand, and they go, dear God, why did I do it again this year?
That was 83 Coppola, wasn't it? The last
rum ball. Yeah, fabulous movie.
I love that movie.
Fabulous
but movie. The ending with the helicopters, yeah. I didn't like that. That scared me a little too much.
Richard Simmons. Oh, my God. You probably heard this story already. Mariah Carey recorded All I Want for Christmas Is You in August of 1994. So they brought in Christmas trees into the studio to make it feel like Christmas, even though it was summer. Oh, speaking of anniversaries, The Jerk, the Steve Martin movie, came out on this date 42 years ago in 1979. You got Christmas coming up in a week and a half, and then, of course, New Year's. 44% of Americans say they will make a resolution, down from 50% a year ago. And, you know, the dismal success rate of resolutions is partly to blame. Just 10% of people stick to their resolution. According to the poll, 47% of all resolutions will fail by February 1st. Google just released a bunch of stats on holiday-related stuff that people are looking for. Searches for funny white elephant gifts are up 600% in the last week. Searches for ugly Christmas sweater near me up 135%. Gift ideas for coworkers up 150%. And a ton of people are looking to buy reindeer antlers for their car. The top gift categories we're Googling are tech gifts, gifts for readers, alcohol gifts, gifts for mom, gifts for boyfriends. The top toys we are looking for, Legos, Peppa Pig stuff, Barbie dream houses, and American Girl dolls. A couple of years ago, Cosmo, known for leading young impressionable women astray for about four decades now, coined this term a couple of years ago. It's called snow globing. That's when somebody uses the holidays to make you think your relationship is more serious than it really is. For example, they might get you a romantic Christmas gift or let you meet their family. But once the holidays are over, things cool down fast. Sometimes it's malicious. But it can also happen by accident if you just get carried away with the romance of the holidays. It sort of goes hand in hand with the cuffing season when people look for somebody to hook up with until the weather gets nice again, and then they move on. Gosh, we are terrible people. Whatever you do, don't lend anybody money. I did this a couple of years, and I'm still regretting it. Cost me a friendship. A new study found there's almost a 50-50 chance of it ending badly. 7 in 10 people have lent money to a friend or family member before, and 44% of those people say something bad happened because of it. So you help somebody out, you don't lend them more than you can afford to lose, that's for sure. 38% have lost money, that's me. 23% said it damaged a relationship, that's me. 14% said their credit score got dinged from things like co-signing and a loan. I wouldn't be that stupid. But here's the craziest stat. If you decide to lend money to your loved ones, there's a 7% chance you'll end up actually in a physical fight with them. Grandma, you get your purse right now and you give me that. Grandma, don't make me. I'm sorry you kids had to hear that. Mark Meadows is in trouble. And with the stuff they're uncovering now about these Fox News hosts, all being part of the insurrection on January 6th. I said this a couple of weeks ago. If a couple of really, really big people in the Trump administration, perhaps also including Donald himself or maybe a couple of his kids or Jared or somebody like that, if nobody ends up getting convicted and going to jail on this thing, I give up. Golden Globe nominees announced yesterday at an underwhelming press conference. Snoop Dogg up there mispronouncing names. Hollywood Foreign Press Association had a big scandal last year. They don't even have a broadcast home for the show. Time Magazine named Elon Musk its Person of the Year, saying, quote, the richest example of a massive shift in our society, end quote. Only 29% of Americans agree with the choice. Dr. Oz, upset that the Philadelphia Inquirer, that's the newspaper there in Philly, won't call him Dr. Oz during his Senate campaign, just Mehmet Oz. He says they're trying to silence him. He's also given up his show. If you're like me and you don't sort of get the, well, I think I'm speaking for pretty much all Americans. You don't get the draw of Pete Davidson. I'm starting to understand him a lot more after seeing the King of Staten Island, okay, which I thought was very, very good, and he was good in it, too. So was Bill Burr. But, you know, this comedy is starting to connect with me a little more, but I still don't get the chick magnet thing. So Reddit went to the internet and said, okay, somebody, women, men, we don't care, but just give us your take. Does anybody have a suitable explanation for how Pete Davidson has become like the new George Clooney? And here are some of the answers. Again, this could come from almost anybody. Number one, he's basically the golden retriever of men. Number two, he's like a dirty string bean with the mouth of a truck driver and a fucked up sense of humor. Can't tell you why, but my ovaries are really into it. He has cracked the code. Number three, he seems like the kind of guy who isn't afraid to hold a woman's purse. Number four, I'm bisexual. I like all women and men who look like wet cigarettes. Okay. Number five, he's very open and candid about his struggles with mental health, and people who are that genuine and honest, while also kind, are often considered to have attractive personalities. All right. Number six, he has a good relationship with his mom. He actually bought a house and ended up living with his mom for a while. Number seven, he seems very genuine and he's confident in his vulnerability. I get the feeling he's very focused and attentive with his partners. Number eight, he's like your weed dealer whom you feel safe around for some reason, and he starts cracking jokes, you realize you'd hook up with him. Number nine, he has a cute smile and facial expressions. The way he holds himself is confident but not cocky like some other male celebrities. He's laid back but not a pathetic laid back. It's his energy more than his actual appearance. Number 10, he's self-aware and doesn't mind self-deprecating humor. He's also a softie. But I also like the take, I forget who the celebrity was, but maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, says he's shooting diamonds out of his penis. That makes more sense. All right, late night tonight, Matthew McConaughey on with Jimmy Fallon. Kimmel's got RuPaul. Henry Cavill is on with Colbert. Dwayne Wade on with James Corden. Will Forte shows up with Seth Meyers. And Chelsea Handler is on with Trevor Noah. The actor who played Buzz in Home Alone has been accused of trying to strangle his girlfriend. Allie Raisman is now not only beautiful and smart, and did I mention beautiful and attractive and appealing? USA Gymnastics and the U.S. Olympic Committee have now also made her a rich woman. $380 million going to the victims of Larry Nassar's sexual abuse. So she will get a chunk of that. There's already a Gabby Petito documentary. It's called The Murder of Gabby Petito, Truth, Lies, and Social Media. That'll be on Peacock starting on Friday. Don McLean doing a 50th anniversary American Pie World Tour. Brad Pitt restoring the music studio where Pink Floyd recorded The Wall. He'll reopen it on his winery estate by summertime. Birthdays today, Vanessa Hudgens, Gabriella, high school reunion, 33, and Natasha McElhone, one of the most gorgeous, breathtaking women I can think of. David Duchovny's girlfriend on Californication, and she's got a series on Hulu now. She's 52. This is disturbing. You can't drink a beer in outer space. It's impossible because it remains foam. The bubbles of carbon dioxide in carbonated beverages aren't buoyant in a weightless environment. Sting does not own the rights to the name Sting. The registered owner with the U.S. Patent Office is the pro wrestler Sting, but he lets the other Sting use his name too. Donald Trump kicked off his speaking tour hosted by Bill O'Reilly. They have stops in Florida, and then Florida, and then more Florida. Aaron Rodgers said his injured toe feels worse after Sunday's game, and he would meet with his doctor to figure out the best course of action. And of course, by doctor, he means Joe Rogan. And we're done for Tuesday, December 14th, 2021. 329 days remaining in American democracy as we have known it. We only do politics here, by the way, when it's absolutely unavoidable. You can email me at jc at jcontheline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. We publish at about 7 o'clock every Monday through Friday. It's absolutely free. And if you miss a podcast, don't worry. Everything is archived right here. We'll have more tomorrow as we kick into high gear Christmas-wise. Please continue to tell your friends that we are here every morning, word of mouth. Best thing we've got going for us. And in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.